What's up, guys? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, December 7th, 2018, aka Super Smash Brothers Ultimate Day. Congratulations, everybody. You get to play one of the best games of all time today, according to me. I'm very excited about that. I'm Tim Geddes, and over here, it's today, so we had to have you.
Thanks for having
Andre
me.
Andre Seegers from Game Explained. How are you doing?
I am so hyped, man. It just feels good. It's Smash Brothers Day. Mm-hmm. We got a new character announcement last night.
Yes, we did.
I am riding high right now.
And congratulations to you guys for killing all of the Smash content leading into the release and also now post-release.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's weird. Like, it's been such a condensed cycle. It's weird that we're finally here with it being released. And we're not done covering this game. There's so much to cover. We can cover it for eons.
I love it so much. And my thing is, we know that we're getting 5 DLC packs. I think we're going to get even more.
Oh, I think so.
Season 2.
Especially because on the character select screen, I believe on the stage select screen, there are 6 gaps at the bottom. Mm-hmm. If there's only 5 stages coming, what's that 6th one for? Probably an arrow to a second screen, right?
Yeah, so. I'm into that. I'm into that for sure. And I don't know if you saw this, but through some of the data mining and stuff people did of the game, it was revealed that there's space for up to 100 characters.
Oh my God. Jesus.
For the character select screen, which would be insane.
How crazy. I remember we were talking about this before in our discussion about Smash. Like, could they hit 100 characters? And I said no, but.
Now you look
maybe,
at it, and it's like, we're getting real close.
Yeah, they
like,
are.
It's so crazy, especially when you first load up the game and you only have the original 8. Yeah. And like to see the roster just expand as you play through it, it is. Such a special thing.
Or man. Even if you play World of Light, you start off with literally a single character. Mm-hmm. And so seeing that screen build from that is kind of intense.
It's crazy. We'll talk more about Smash later. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily each and every weekday right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We get together, talk about all the news going on in video games. You can get the show live on Twitch, or you can watch the video later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or on podcast services around the globe. If you support us on Patreon, we'd appreciate that very much. And for this month, I've never had to show people this, and I feel really embarrassed by it. I'm not gonna lie.
No way. Come on.
Our Patreon fan mail tier for this month is this fake cover that we made for Forbes 30 Under 30 that's signed by me with my beautiful signature that looks like a, I don't know, second grader did it.
Yeah, second grader.
You think
right.
Second grade's
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. You can get it. Put it on your wall. I don't know. You can do whatever you want with it.
That's awesome.
Or not.
Congrats on that, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you very much. It's really... I'm very embarrassed. what else do we got to get out of this? The Kinda Funny Games Showcase is tomorrow. 10 a.m. We have over 60 games to show you. Nearly half a dozen will release tomorrow. And we couldn't be more excited. Come see what we've got Saturday, December 8th, 10 a.m. Pacific time on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're out and about, you can follow @kindafunnyvids on Twitter to get all the announcements as they happen, or catch the showcase later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. After that, we're going to be doing an after party where we play Smash Brothers until our eyes bleed. So very excited about all of that. It's so close. I'm so glad that this thing's going to be over tomorrow, and I'm so excited for you all to see it. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy too. I mean, I know why it exists because of the gap in coverage, but having it the week of Smash, the week of the Game Awards, that seems a little intense. I don't know how you guys will handle it.
Hell yeah, man. Gotta get it done. Gotta get it done. We are sponsored by 23andMe, Brooklyn and Anne, Robin Hood, but we will get to that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have one news story today.
Baker's dozen?
The Game Awards were last night. We're going to go through the winners. We're going to through all the announcements. So think of it as like 100 stories. You know what I mean? Let's start with some of the winners. The big one, Game of the Year, God of War.
Yeah.
Oh, I was so stoked for Corey.
I was shocked that it wasn't Red Dead Redemption.
Me
it was
too.
Sweeping everything else.
Sweeping. And like, it was a shock to see God of War get it at the end of the day.
That's awesome to see. It's nice to see a game that's not Red Dead get some attention.
So, did you play Red Dead?
I watched my roommate play some Red Dead, and I could determine it probably wasn't for me based on that.
I'm with you as well. But shout out to Red Dead for sweeping
it
otherwise.
It did well. No,
man.
I mean, I don't take anything away from it. Like, it had a great night. Yep. I just thought, I was convinced. I mean, after seeing some of those rewards and with the recency bias and how over the moon critics seem to be for this game, I thought for sure I was going to win. But I wonder if maybe there's still a fan vote, right? That still influences the results, I think.
I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, I don't know how it
I don't. I don't think that fan votes actually affect the winners.
Oh, do
I think,
they not? Okay.
I think it's just more like what the fans think is going to win or what the fans want. Best game direction, God of War. Which I totally agree with. And again, I feel that it deserves it because of the one take camera thing. Like, that is such good direction. And they set out with that goal, and I feel like they really accomplished it and knocked it out of the park.
That's always one of my favorite things in movies, is when you notice how long the take has been and how technically perfect it you know, they've executed it. And doing that in a game is just kind of mind-blowing.
Doing that in a game across 20 hours and keeping it evenly paced and exciting is crazy, and they did it.
Yeah.
Such a special game. Best narrative, Red Dead Redemption 2. Best art direction, Return of the Obra Dinn. You play that one?
No.
I did not either, but seeing it get all these awards, I'm like, have you seen it?
Which one was it?
Return of the Obra Dinn. It's the one with the crazy-ass art style that kind of looks like Game Boy camera. Can you pull it up real quick?
Yeah. That did look neat.
So. It looks awesome.
I need to check it out.
Yeah, just pull it up real quick so we can show the people. God, I hate pop-ups so damn
They're the
much.
Worst.
So many of them, too.
I respect they don't have an ad blocker, though, so you gotta...
Kevin does it right. But yeah.
That's right. Yeah, this did look
It looks
great.
So cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, the Game Awards made me realize, like, how many games there are out there that are worth playing that I don't have time for. That's what sucks.
Dude, video games are cool, man. We're in a world now where it's just like, there is no time to play.
There isn't.
All of them, because so many games are so good. There's no room for sevens anymore.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, there really isn't. And especially as, you know, I'm sure people think, with us working in the game industry, that all we do is play games. I'm pretty sure most people who think that are playing more games than we are.
Absolutely. That's 100% true. Yeah. Best score in music, Red Dead Redemption 2. Best audio design, Red Dead Redemption 2. Best performance, Roger Clark as Arthur Morgan in Red Dead Redemption 2. Games for Impact, Celeste. Yes.
Hell yes. Celeste is amazing.
It is. So amazing. And it also won Best Independent Game, and I lost my shit. Congrats to them, man. What a special, special game. And it being nominated for Game of the Year, I think is totally deserved.
Yep.
And also so awesome to see that up with God of War and Red Dead, because it's this small game that just feels so big.
Oh, I totally agree. Like, I mean, it has a message far beyond its medium, or maybe not its medium, but beyond like what you expect of that genre of a platforming game. Real quick, I don't mean to jump in here, but I was surprised that Celeste didn't get nominated for Best Narrative, because I feel like that's half the reason why it was nominated for Best Game.
Yeah, so, that is interesting,
right? Isn't it?
Huh. But the thing with the Game Awards is it gets hard because when people are nominating games, it is kind of a strategic game of like, well, we're going to give it to this because that's going to get that.
It's like the Oscars, too.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
So, absolutely. And yeah, Games for Impact, like Celeste winning that. It's like, that's awesome because it is a very special experience. And the story is so much deeper than you'd expect from a 2D platformer.
Great speech, too, for winning it. Yep. So
all the speeches were good.
Yeah.
Like, overall, we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves. The Game Awards, I thought, were fantastic. I thought it was by far the best year we've seen. I think that they're only going to get better as years go on. And you can see Jeff taking the criticism into play and being like, you know what? We're going to address some of this stuff. And it's impossible to balance perfectly announcements and Game Awards, you know, because everybody wants something different. Everybody's watching for something different. So everyone's always going to complain. Mm-hmm. But I feel like last night was a really good example of how to do it. Very long. Very, very long.
Yeah, definitely long. So,
But I was there. I was in it the whole time.
Mm-hmm. I do think it's a little at odds with itself, though, as you kind of just touched on, because on the one hand, they're celebrating current games, obviously, as the Game Awards, but then you're always waiting for the next game, like where they showcase a world premieres, right? So it's almost like, okay, we're done celebrating the present. Let's focus on what's next. You know? So it's kind of a little bit of a weird mishmash, I feel
it,
like.
It is. It definitely is. But I feel there's a place for it. You know, I feel like video games are unique in the way that they're the only medium that gets announced this way.
Yeah.
Like, there's not, like, with the exception of maybe Super Bowl halftime or, like, just commercials, like, there isn't just one thing where every movie gets announced and here's all the trailers. But video games, that's just what they do. There's just conferences that are like, hey, you're about to get 15 new game announcements tonight. Right. It's like, all right. I love it. Best ongoing game, Fortnite. Best mobile game, Florence. Fuck yes. I was so stoked to see this win. Have you played Florence yet?
I haven't.
It's 45 minutes.
Oh, shit. Well, I got time for that.
It is super worth it. I think it's like $3. It is gut-wrenching.
What platform?
Mobile.
All right.
Because it won best mobile game. It's super good. It's the story of a relationship kind of falling apart.
Oh, so I don't know if I'm ready for this.
It's pretty intense, but I'm super excited that they won that.
Okay.
Best VR / AR game, Astrobot Rescue Mission.
Hell yes. Astrobot is awesome. Yeah. Have you tried it?
Not yet.
Oh, man, it's great. I said before, it is, if Nintendo made a game of VR, this is what it would look like. It's Astrobot.
Got robbed.
What did Tetris?
Beat Saber.
Beat Saber's fucking.
I need to try that one. That looks fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think was Tetris Effect nominated too. I believe. Yeah.
It's great too.
Yeah, I haven't tried in VR yet, but Astrobot, man, this is like this. I've seen a lot of comparisons to Mario 64. Obviously, mm-hmm. I don't think that quite hits it, but I see in one very specific element I could see why, where it shows what like the potential of a new medium, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's showing you like how VR can enhance platforming games, for instance, or whatever else. But yeah, try it out.
Yeah, so. I'm super excited to play it. Best action game, Dead Cells. Fuck yes. Best action adventure game, God of War. I didn't realize God of War won as much as it did. They didn't present that.
No, you're right. Well. They didn't, if at all. Did they present all the awards?
No, they definitely didn't present them all on screen. They did a lot of things. They also won this and this as they were giving the speeches.
That's right.
Best role-playing game, Monster Hunter World.
Is that a role-playing game?
My thing with this reminds me of like The Martian winning best comedy or whatever. Or what was it?
Yeah, it was best comedy.
Yeah. At the Golden Globes,
which
where it's
is
like
not a comedy.
Yeah, and so it
has some funny elements, but it's not a comedy. Yeah,
yeah. So I feel like Monster Hunter had to win something, and this is an example of what we were talking about earlier, where it's just like they're like, well, I guess we're gonna vote for it here.
Technically, every game's a role playing game, right?
At this point, like even Smash Bros. What the fuck?
that's the biggest role playing game.
Best fighting game, Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Okay, so this is where speaking of Smash Brothers, this is where we were running into a bit of a problem with games releasing in December, I think, not being eligible for the Game Awards, right? Mm-hmm. Because they are technically eligible for the following year, but who gives a shit by that point? Mm-hmm. No one cares. Smash Brothers should have been here. It's not, obviously, and I don't think we'll see it. We may not see it next year.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And as an example, getting back to Best RPG, Xenoblade Chronicles 2, nowhere to be seen.
Because it came out in December.
Yep.
Yeah. And I feel that there is another flaw when it comes to the Game Awards system of nominations, because you know they go. Are you guys part of the nomination process?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, there's like 60 outlets. We're included.
Yeah, Jeff doesn't care about us.
Like he should. I feel like there needs to be more, because the problem is when people nominate stuff, it's like, you know, we're a small outlet, IGN obviously bigger, and GameSpot huge. All these guys. Not everybody plays games, and especially when you're looking at games media, things like fighting games, things like obscure Japanese RPGs, things like racing games, sports games, they kind of get neglected.
They do. Oh, absolutely. I mean, even look at the best game category, for instance. I don't think, not that I think Smash Brothers should be nominated necessarily, but you would never see a game, I don't think you'd ever see a game like that be nominated. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems to be kind of like the Oscars, like, you know, very almost melodramatic, right? Like they want something that's more narrative based, more narrative focused. It doesn't matter how much fun you necessarily had with the game, but it has to have like that kind of story component, right? So that is kind of like I guess that's where like these other subcategories kind of fill in.
Yeah.
But like you can have the most fun of all time with, say, Smash, and you would never see nominated for best game, I think.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when we were coming up with it, it's like you're supposed to nominate three different games, at least three, between three and five games for the category. And it's like, and if you don't have that, it's like, then don't. And there was a lot of categories we just didn't even submit something, because we're like, we don't have a racing game this year. You know what I mean? We don't have a sports game. So like we didn't put Mario Tennis on it because we didn't love that game.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Best family game, Overcooked 2. I was a little surprised Mario Party didn't take that.
Yeah, I figure it's going to be either one or the other. I think Overcooked is still, for as broad-reaching as Mario Party is, I think Overcooked is still a little bit broader, maybe.
Hmm.
Actually, I don't know. That it's tough. But I feel like I could see people who don't care about games more readily getting into Overcooked than Mario Party. Just because I think Mario Party is still associated, obviously, with video games. Overcooked is based around cooking, which is something most people already are familiar with on some level. So,
best strategy game, Into the Breach. Best sports / racing game, Forza Horizon 4. Best debut indie game, The Messenger. Yes.
I still need to play that one.
Dude, you do.
Yep.
Sabotage Games, they made something really, really special. And I said this last night, but I'm so proud of what they did. There's so much love put into the game. And for them, for their debut game to get an award like this is such a huge deal. I feel like The Messenger is not perfect. Like, it's not on the level of Celeste for me. But I feel like their next game is going to be so fucking fantastic.
And you're hitting on excellent point right there. Like, I love this category, best debut indie game. That's fantastic. It gives attention to, you know, smaller, perhaps less polished developers, you know, who are just starting off.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's great. Gotta keep an eye on them. Best multiplayer game, Fortnite. Best esports game, Overwatch. Best esports player, Sonic Fox, who gave the greatest speech of all time.
Such a fun speech.
So I loved good. All the confused looks on the audience members.
So good, man. He is a gem of a human being. Best esports team, Cloud9. Best esports coach, Reaperend. Best esports event, League of Legends World Championship. Best esports host, Shox. Best esports moment, the C9 comeback win in Triple OT. I feel like I'm speaking another language right now.
Dude, I'll be honest. I tuned out during the segment. I don't follow esports at all. I only knew the Fox. What's his name? Sonic Fox.
Yeah.
I only knew of him just because of stories I've read about him, but I don't follow esports at all. So I'm happy for everyone that won or every category here. The people that were excited for it just did nothing for me. So
yeah.
I like playing games. I don't like watching games.
Mm. And so this is a weird crossroads we're at where the Game Awards, it's like, should they cover it? Should they not cover it? Is there other things that they're not covering? Like, my friend was texting me, who's very much on the esports side, while we were watching this stuff, and she was like, it's just so funny how little I know about the stuff you guys talk about when it comes to games, and how little you know when it comes to esports. And it's like, it's just such a different world that's using our same structure. Like, it's weird.
It is weird. I totally agree. I don't know there's a good solution if you even need a solution, but it's weird.
I feel like they're handling it right. I think that it is important to expose both sides to the other side and to look at it as a whole, because that's the only way that video games are going to move past where they're at in the public eye. Content Creator of the Year, Ninja. Student Game Award went to Combat 2018. So that's all of the winners.
Man, if only the show itself could be that fast. That was awesome, man. Can Tim host next year? Like, that'd be great.
Let Tim host. Bunch of announcements. In the pre-show, they announced Sayonara Wild Hearts. That looks super cool. Very, very awesome art style.
Yeah.
It looks like a Tim Gettys fever dream of just colors and pop music together. So that looked tight. Journey to the Savage Planet and the Stanley Parabola are coming to consoles. There was a trailer for Psychonauts 2. And Rage 2 coming May 14th. Other new announcements included Ancestors, The Humankind Odyssey, a team-based survival shooter called Scavengers, and Abzu Studio Giant Squid's new game, The Pathless. Dauntless is coming to consoles in 2019 and has a PC update. Frostfall is available now. I got all of this from Kotaku. So we're going to go through their rundown. They did a really good job with it. They started off the show, I thought, perfectly. Uniting the big three.
That was cool.
What a moment, man. I had chills.
Yeah.
Like, there's such a special thing. Jeff was saying that he's been trying for 5 years to get this to happen. And we know on the back end of it, because, like, we've tried to do similar things like that. And we've tried to, like...
It's impossible,
They will never play nice. And it's never been a thing. But to see this actually happen, I think, is such a huge step forward for video games.
Yeah, actually bring people together, show, you know, you don't just have to have console wars. Like, it's okay to be friends with people on the other side. It actually reminded me back, to some extent, it reminded me back of the early days of E3, or early for me, back in like 2001, where you actually did have a couple events where you have all three big execs up on stage together having discussions, and that's something we don't see much these days. So it was cool to have that moment.
Yeah, it was very, very cool. I loved that. And then the first big announcement was huge and out of nowhere. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 Black Order is a Switch exclusive coming in 2019. Black Order comes 10 years after the last game in the series and is developed by Team Ninja and published by Nintendo. It will be both single player and multiplayer, supporting up to four players.
That's wild. I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So
the thing that's a little upsetting to me is I didn't love the look of it. It looked kind of cheap and low budget.
So I actually totally agree. Before we knew it was Nintendo published, I figured they're probably targeting Switch because they can get away with lower budget visuals. And, I guess that's probably still the case in Nintendo publishing. But I was looking at the game, like, that looks so familiar. And it's because, as you said, it's a sequel to a game that came out 10 years ago, which I apparently did a guide for when I worked at GameSpot way back in the day. And I remember
Ultimate Alliance is great.
Yeah, so I actually never really got into it. It just felt kind of like mindless to me, I suppose.
I mean, I guess...
But I'm not a big Marvel guy, that's why. So.
Yeah. Guides will destroy you. But great's a strong word to use. I feel it was... super fun. It's games of a bygone era. You know what I mean? Like earlier in the show, we were saying that sevens can exist. That was at a time when sevens
could exist,
and were
it had
were
a niche to fill.
Yes,
yeah.
And just playing as all the superheroes was novel enough, and that was super fun and super cool, and the story was interesting. So it's like this is when I read that. It's really exciting to me. Everything about that. Team Ninja, Switch exclusive, Team Ninja's 2019. Fun, yeah. Like, all this stuff sounds great. But then seeing it, I'm like, oh, man, I hope this is good.
But, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, graphics don't matter that much, right?
Yep.
It has local co-op, which is perfect for the Switch. And, of course, the Marvel being gigantic these days, like, far bigger than it was 10 years ago. Like, I think this is going to drum up a lot of excitement. And it is weird to see Nintendo publishing this game.
Yeah.
Like, that is bizarre.
And that's the X factor to me that I think that we might get something really
special. A Samus crossover?
Oh, my God. But this might be something really special. And, like, I Marvel Games has been knocking out of the park. Obviously, Spider-Man was so, so good. Mm-hmm. And they have such vision. They want to not copy the MCU, but they want to recreate that magic.
Right.
Working with different publishers and them working with Nintendo and Team Ninja to put this out, I think is a good sign.
Well, speaking of that magic, X-Men being here. That's something we haven't seen in the movies
yet. And for a long time, the games even have been kind of like Marvel's Capcom Infinite, no X-Men. So it's like this, I like that we're finally playing nice.
That's it, yeah.
Far Cry New Dawn gets a release date February 15th. Far Cry New Dawn takes place after the events of Far Cry 5, and we'll see players face off against the Project at Eden's Gate, the main game's cult, led by some badass-looking twins. The game looked cool. I liked the colors. I liked the look of it. It reminded me of... Like it's funny that Ubisoft has just been killing it recently, and when we know Rage 2 is coming out, we know Fallout 76 already came out. And then you see this that kind of just looks like it's going to be the better version of both of them.
It does, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The having, what, women protagonists?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
That's... Is it, though? Hold on. I said that incorrectly. Are they the protagonists?
Actually, I don't know.
They might have been the antagonist or...
That's my thing.
They might be the antagonist.
I have a feeling. Like, I was like pretty high.
I should say, a strong focus on women characters.
Yes.
Then.
Yeah, there yes. we go. But I just think that it, like, when we first saw them, I'm like, oh shit, this is cool.
Yeah,
and then I was
different.
Like, I have a feeling that it's going to end up just being a white dude with a beard. That's the main character. You know what I mean?
That is how, that's the go-to character, yeah.
Supergiant's new game is in early access now. Bastion Empire developer Supergiant announced Hades, a roguelike dungeon crawler, available in early access now on the Epic Games Store. It has the same isometric look as the previous games, and it looks freaking awesome. Did you see this one?
I'm drawing a blank right now. I need
to
refresh
it. It's so pretty.
It's the one.
Cool.
Yeah, it looks just like Bastion, where it's isometric, and you're playing as Hades, and he just looks super awesome. Yeah, Kevin, pull it up real quick.
Yeah, the Game Awards are almost like a blur at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this did look, visually it looked amazing.
Yeah.
So,
cool looking.
Yeah,
just
that is
like
great.
Fashion, though, yeah.
And Supergiant, man, they're awesome. So check that out. We got a new Anthem story trailer. Anthem looking cool. I'm very excited for it. Andy is losing his shit about it, so... Get excited about that. And then next up, ladies and gentlemen, it's real. It fucking happened. Year of dreams, decade of dreams. It continues. Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled, June 21st on PS4, Xbox, and Switch. Nitro Fueled is developed by Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions devs Beanox Interactive and brings back all the original content from the original Crash Team Racing, built from the ground up with new visuals and audio. All the characters, tracks, and arenas will return with adventure, arcade, single, and cup race. Time trials and battle modes all returning. Nitro Fueled will also feature online multiplayer for these modes. Added into the game will be the addition to play as villain Nitrous Oxide, who is unlockable via adventure mode challenges. Players can also purchase the Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled Nitrous Oxide Digital Deluxe Edition, which will unlock Nitrous, his hovercraft cart, space theme character skins for Crash, Coco, Cortex, and more. Randomly, life just worked out this way. We do have Cheeks Jr. in the house. Cheeks, can you get over here real quick? Number one Crash Bandicoot fan. It's a fucking fact.
Oh,
what
man.
Are your thoughts on this?
I think it fucking looks great.
Hold on. Wait. Go for it.
Sorry. I think it fucking looks great. I think a couple interesting things. Beanox, because Vicarious Visions made Nitro Kart. So I thought that was a weird way to go with Beanox, which makes me think they're working on another, a new Crash game. Two, it's cool that they're bringing carts back. They're changeable carts. And it's interesting because it's carts from Nitro Kart and Tag Team Racing and other Crash games, which I thought was really cool. One thing I'm really worried about is like drifting and then like the boost, the jumps, the feel of the game. I think they're going to nail it just because if you read the PlayStation blog post, these guys are really putting their like their Crash fans. So like it's really cool to see. But I'm fucking stoked, man.
Hell yeah.
It's happening. We did it. Your dreams.
Thank you.
I'm so happy for you guys.
Yeah, I know. It's exciting times. And you're right, man. Like the biggest fear is the feel of the game. And I just hope they need to nail it. And if they don't, this is going to be a trash heap. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's the biggest problem.
It's critical with kart racing games that it feels good and that they capture the how it felt originally.
Yep,
so.
Yep. Are you a big Crash Team Racing guy?
So I only played a little bit, but I downloaded it when it was on PS2 when they brought over the like PlayStation Classics or whatever. Was it PS3 maybe? Oh, maybe PS3, yeah. I got sidetracked with some things. I never finished it. So I'm looking forward to this because I think there is a gap right now in the kart racing genre. It's been couple years now almost since Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which itself was a port of a several-year-old game.
Yep.
Sonic Team Racing looks like it almost shat the bed. So
this is kind of a
perfect title, you know, at a good time.
I've said it before, but Crash Team Racing is my favorite kart racer of all time. I feel that it is better than Mario Kart 64.
Well, I mean, what isn't these days?
Yeah,
and that game does not hold up.
It does not, except for the battle mode, which is awesome.
That's true. Yeah.
I personally think it's better than Diddy Kong Racing in terms of the adventure mode and like how the story works.
You're speaking my language. I love Diddy Kong Racing for that reason.
Yeah.
So, and no Crash's, one else does it.
No, and Crash's Adventure Mode was awesome.
All right.
So to see it come back is going to be great. My problem is, I feel like the game does need some updates and it's going to need more content to compete with Mario Kart 8. Mario Kart 8 is such a great game. And so it's like that's where it starts to get a little interesting where we're talking about a 20-year-old game coming back. But like Cheeks was just saying, they are adding new karts. They are adding some more modern kart features.
The thing I'm most concerned about, and maybe I shouldn't be at all because I haven't played it that much, is as we're talking about the feel, like how it's important to nail the feel of the original. At the same time, like some of those early kart racers, like Mario Kart 64, feel kind of terrible these days. So I wonder.
Crash feels good.
Okay.
Crash feels really fucking good.
That's why
I'm so excited that this is coming back. Like Crash Team Racing is a legitimately good game, great game. Crash Bandicoot, the trilogy, I understand that they don't hold up in this way or this way or whatever. And
It's just the truth. Nobody likes you.
Obsidian's new game is called The Outer Worlds. The Outer Worlds, Obsidian's new game, will be a first-person shooter with RPG touches that looks like Fallout New Vegas in space. It's set to release in 2019. Did it do anything for you?
No.
Yeah, me neither. That's just not my type of game, but Andy was excited. Well, I'm sure a lot of other people were. Hello Games is making The Last Campfire. The Last Campfire will be a Hello Games short from No Man's Sky developer. It will be an adventure full of lost folk, strange creatures, and mysterious ruins. With the No Man's Sky updates this year, Hello Games seems to really be on a roll. What you got for me, Andy?
Mike on Kev?
Yep.
It's by two of their developers, like two of the people on their team.
Wow.
I saw Sean Murray tweet out like, It's rare that you get to announce a game made by two people, and this is so-and-so and so-and-so's baby. I forgot what their names are, but is the next game by Hello Games going to be made by, like, half of a human being or what? Like, I just feel like No Man's Sky was, like, originally a four-man team or whatever, so.
Yeah.
It looks exciting. I like that. It looks really cool. Yeah, it reminds me of Hob. A lot of people, it's a game on PS4, sort of like a puzzle platformer game. It looks really, really cute.
Awesome. What were your thoughts on The Outer Worlds, the Obsidian game?
That didn't click with me for some reason. I don't know why. I've never been a huge Fallout fan to begin with, so that's what the game just gave me a lot of those vibes, a lot of the post-apocalyptic, but with space, sort of, you know? I don't know. It looks interesting. Greg said that he's really into it.
Cool.
Maybe I'll give it a shot. I don't know.
PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds is getting a winter map available last night on PC test servers. The Kendi map will have snowmobiles and a new weapon. It'll be available on consoles in January. Studio Wildcard announces Atlas. ARK developer Wildcard has a new game, an MMO survival game with pirates and also dragons, with a map 12,000 times the size of an ARK server. It comes to Xbox next year. Remember when video games were obsessed with just big maps?
Oh, I do.
When it was just like all that mattered was how big the fucking map was.
It's so like a new version of how many megabits your cartridge is.
Yeah, exactly. Ashen is out now. Ashen, which we first heard about in 2014, is out now for Xbox and PC. BioWare teases Dragon Age 4. We didn't see much besides some voiceover and a reference to Solus, but BioWare says the team has been hard at work exploring ways to push BioWare storytelling to the next level. Andy, as the Dragon Age guy, what'd it do for you?
Oh my God, I'm so excited about this. It's a game that I wasn't sure was ever going to be made. After sort of the fumbling with Andromeda, I was very scared about the future of Dragon Age and Mass Effect properties, but I'm super excited. It seems to be continuing the story from Inquisition with Solas, who's this character that was on your squad the whole time, and you find out he was really, like, really an asshole the whole time. And the whole game, you get sort of hints at it, and turns out he was backstabbing you, and he is kind of the main villain of all of this. So I'm excited he's back. I'm excited to see how they sort of include your gameplay from the first one, from Inquisition, and how maybe your save file will transfer over. I don't know. I'm really, really excited, though. I had a lot of tears in my eyes for that announcement. Man.
There's going to be a new Stranger Things game. Stranger Things 3 will be a 16-bit looking co-op adventure game. Interesting titling.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it's just weird to just drop a game called Stranger Things 3 when there hasn't been a 1 and 2.
No.
I'm guessing that it's going to be a tie-in to season 3 of Stranger Things.
That'd be my guess, I suppose. Yeah.
I was saying this to Kevin last night, but like this is such a weird move where, you know, we moved past the era of licensed movie games. Are we now going to get just like licensed TV show games? Like,
maybe.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. I do love how the logo looks, though, in 16-bit.
Yeah.
Like, it looks great.
It definitely fits. Mortal Kombat 11 comes April 23rd. Instead of the announcement for the best sports or racing game, there was a trailer for Mortal Kombat 11, which looks as bloody as you'd expect, and is also coming to Switch. There will be more details on January 17th. Yeah, dude.
That's crazy.
Nintendo had a moment last night.
They had a few moments last night. Yeah. It was weird. I mean, I didn't expect that, and it is funny to note that this is like a super ultra-violent game. You know, it being Mortal Kombat, the newest Mortal Kombat, coming to a platform in which Nintendo was originally completely against.
Yeah.
You know, where they censored the original Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
I'm excited for this. Yeah. I'm not the biggest Mortal Kombat guy. I've always been more on the Street Fighter side. And even then, that's just like, I just like it. I'm not good at it. But playing Injustice 2, I'm like, those guys, have you played Injustice?
No.
Injustice 2 opened my fucking mind to fighting games. The story mode was incredible. The way that
is rare to say about fighting games.
And it was so good. So I'm like, because of that, I want to give this one a shot.
That's awesome.
Because I'm excited for it.
Hey, do you think are we going to get Sub-Zero in Smash Brothers next?
Dude, anything is fucking possible,
right?
Man.
Anything's possible.
Fortnite's Risky Reels is now The Block. The Block will feature player-made creations from Fortnite's new creative mode. Fortnite, a ton of stuff going on last night. Epic Games with the store. It's like, Epic is also having a moment right now.
They are.
And then we end it with Smash DLC. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate will get Joker from Persona 5 as the first of its 5 DLC character packs, along with new stages and music. We're about to get Persona 5 music in Smash, which is super exciting.
We never saw this coming.
Dude. Oh my God.
It's like, nuts. We were talking about this before the show. Like, neither of us expected it to be a Smash character. We thought it'd be maybe a Persona 5 port or something else. This hats off to Nintendo for completely catching everyone off guard.
Everyone off guard, and on top of that, I think we all expected Metroid Prime.
Yeah, I think at the show.
Think even more than that, we expected to not see Smash DLC.
Right,
because it's like, I thought it was a weird thing where it's like, the game's out. Like, don't have that weird moment of giving anybody the opportunity to be like, well, I wasn't part of the game.
So I'll take a quick rare moment to my own horn. We had a predictions piece, and I was one of the few predicted on our show that there would be Smash DLC, and everyone else made me feel like a complete idiot. They're like, why would they announce DLC on the eve Smash is releasing? I'm like, that's a good point, but maybe it would sell that DLC. Here we go.
I'm just surprised they did it. But I'm happy they did, and I feel like it only worked because it was so off the wall.
That's true.
When we saw that trailer, it was like, oh my God, Persona 5 coming to Switch, which would be really exciting and would sell so many copies. But then we didn't get that, and instead it was Smash.
Right.
And like, that's why I lost my mind.
I mean, it was such a great venue for it, because right now it's a PS4 exclusive. So you're targeting that audience with a Smash advertisement. Like, it's genius. Like, this was the perfect venue for a trailer like this.
Yeah.
Like, get some people beyond even this Nintendo fan base excited.
Yeah, no, it's super crazy. Last night, there was a clip going around the internet of me freaking the fuck out. I threw my hat and I killed. Did you see this?
No.
I threw my hat accidentally. Like, I was so excited. I stood up and threw my hat down. It hit Andy's beer, which went on his laptop, and it literally killed his $2,000 laptop. And I feel very, very bad about it. But Razer hit us up, and they're going to try to get us a new one.
What is it with Smash breaking shit? Because the day after I got Smash Ultimate, the review copy, my TV just broke on me randomly. I don't know what's going on.
It's the hype, man. It's the hype. But the thing about it is, like, I don't care about Persona. I'm not a Persona guy.
I've never really played it.
So it's just like, I'm not excited for that. I'm excited for, I mean, I'll be excited for any new Smash character.
Right.
But I'm excited for what this means for the DLC.
That's it. Because because when Sakurai said Nintendo was the one choosing it this time, like, oh crap, what's this mean?
We're gonna get Goomba. Yeah, we're gonna get Dry Bones. Yeah. We're gonna, you know what I mean? It's just like, or we're gonna get random ass tie-ins to whatever game. We're gonna get another Fire Emblem character for Fire Emblem Three Houses, and it's like, no.
And this shows me, it's like, oh shit, Nintendo kind of gets it right now.
They get it, and they're gonna fucking own it. They're gonna use the DLC rollout as a way to get audiences that aren't necessarily into Smash.
Exactly, into Smash. Bring them in. That's
like,
it.
Now more than ever, I feel like Crash Bandicoot might actually happen.
We'll see.
And
we'll
I broke a $2,000 computer for Persona, I don't even want to know what I'll do with Crash.
How awesome is it that now with the last three Smash Brothers games, we've had a moment kind of this caliber. With Brawl, that was obviously Snake.
Yep.
With Wii U, that was Cloud. Mm-hmm. And now we're having it again with Joker. So, yeah.
I mean, dude, Cloud is in Smash Brothers.
It's so weird.
There are mornings I just wake up and I'm laying in bed. I'm just like, well, I live in a world where Cloud is in fucking Super Smash Brothers. Like, right? It just doesn't make sense.
No.
But this news, super exciting. I think it's great. I think it's very weird that we didn't also get the announcement of a port to the Switch.
I agree. I don't know. Maybe they want to announce it when it's closer to release, perhaps.
Maybe.
You know, because, I mean, I guess they'd be competing. Like, you know, you're already capturing all, you know, all the mind share with this one announcement. Why try to compete with it with another? So
I don't know. I mean, Persona 5 on Switch just makes too much sense. When you look at, there was Persona 4, but it wasn't until Persona 4 Golden on Vita that it really took the fuck off.
Yeah.
And was like the moment for Persona. And I think that all that we need to do is Persona 5 Crimson, and it's going to be on Switch. And I feel like it's going to happen at some point.
I mean, I know I say this about literally every game, but it seems like a perfect fit for the Switch. Yeah, exactly. I watched my roommate play it for weeks on end. I mean, I didn't watch for weeks on end, but he was playing for weeks on end, and I watched some of it. It's like a super lengthy game, so it seems like a great game to, you know, to have with you whenever you have a spare moment, pick up and play and get a little bit farther in that story. Yeah. So.
Oh, man, it's so great. We're going to get to the games coming out today and deals today and reader mail in a second. But first, I wanted to let you know that we are brought to you by 23andMe. Now through December 25th, 23andMe kits are on sale. 23andMe helps you understand what your DNA can tell you about you and your family. And your family's story. It's named for the 23 pairs of chromosomes that make up our DNA. 23andMe Health and Ancestry Service includes 90 plus personalized genetic reports that offers DNA insights on what makes you unique. It's easy to do. You simply spit into this little tube provided in your 23andMe kit, register your sample to your personal 23andMe account, and in a few weeks, you receive your personalized online reports. I did it. I was not shocked at all about the reports. I am incredibly white. But what I was interested in is all of the health reports that they do. Like, there's a lot of breakdowns of things that I wasn't expecting to get from this. Really cool service. And also, it's just like a fun thing to know. Because you think you know, but then you look at the actual breakdown. I'm just like, wow. I got a lot more British in me than I expected, but who knows? Ancestry composition report. With 23andMe's ancestry composition report, you can explore where your DNA is from out of 150 plus regions worldwide. Now through December 25th, you can get 30% off any 23andMe kit. Order your DNA kit at 23andMe.com/games. That's the number 23andMe.com/games. Again, that's 23andMe.com/games. Next up, let me tell you about Brook Linen. You spend a third of your life in sheets. This holiday season is great time for a bedding upgrade for you or a loved one. I love it. I sleep on them every night. Gia loves it. She sleeps on them every night. Brook Linen sheets are named the winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping and have over 30,000 five-star reviews. There's no middlemen, meaning they can give you five-star hotel quality sheets that are affordable and easy to order. Sheets don't just feel amazing. They look great to mix and match over 20 plus colors and patterns. Of course, I got some nice blue and white ones going on because I'm me. That's what I do. Brook Linen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. That's a fact. Now it's time for you to upgrade or get a gift for somebody for Christmas. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. Brook Linen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES. And finally, Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. It's a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. Trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Easy to understand charts and market data. Place a trade in just four taps on your smartphone. You can learn how to invest as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, and track your favorite companies with personalized news feed. Custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right movement to invest. Robinhood's giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at games.robinhood.com. That's games.robinhood.com. Kevin, what do you have to say about Robinhood?
Very easy to use, and my favorite thing about it, and I've said this before, once you set it up, you can transfer money from your account immediately. Mm. You don't have to wait 10 days like some other companies.
That's special. That's real special. Mm-hmm. So check it out. Let me tell you. Oh, I didn't prep you for this bit. Oh, so man. I'm gonna prep you live, and then you're gonna do it because we gotta do this show justice.
I'm curious now.
It's not like cool or anything.
Oh, well.
All right. Darn. So I'm gonna ask you a question. And you're going to respond with this sentence, okay?
The one in all caps?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. That took way longer than I expected it to, and it could have took way longer. If I wanted to know what games were coming to Mom and Grop shops, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Do 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 do. There you go. I'm off my game today, ladies and gentlemen.
My indication sounded completely wrong.
I'm so sorry. I want to be real. The Kinda Funny Game Showcase is tomorrow morning. I haven't slept between Smash Brothers and the Game Showcase in the last week and Game Awards last night. It's been rough, right? It's been rough. Yeah. It's been rough. So I'm sorry. And I'm still sick. It's horrible. What's up, Kev?
Booty, you're being sick. I'm sorry, man.
Booty. No, out today. No. Guns and Stories. Bulletproof VR on PSVR. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate on Switch. Hello Neighbor Hide and Seek on PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Katamari Damacy Reroll on Switch. Honor Roll 3D on Xbox One. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds on PS4. And Sega Genesis Classics on Switch.
It almost sounded like Katamari Damacy Honor Roll was the same title.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for that game because why is it launching on the day of Smash Brothers?
Yeah, that's a bad call.
Yeah.
Poor
Katamari. Yep.
New dates for you. Sony, Naughty Dog, and Limited Run Games are collaborating to release physical PS4 versions of the original four Jak and Daxter games from the PlayStation 2. It appears that the PS4 physical releases will contain the PS2 classics versions of the games, which are currently available for download on PS4. Jak and Daxter, The Precursor Legacy, Jak 2, and Jak 3 all received PS3 remasters, but it doesn't appear at this time that the remasters will be part of the PS4 physical releases. It's interesting.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Sounds like a cool, fun thing if you're into that. I was never a big Jak guy.
Nor I. I mean, I liked one, actually, but then they changed it too much, I feel like. They kind of got away from what made it fun for me, so...
Activision Blizzard has announced Call of Duty Black Ops 4 Battle Edition available on Battle.net that features just the multiplayer and blackout modes for the limited time prices of $30. Players have the option to upgrade to the Digital Standard Edition to get Zombies mode, 1,100 Call of Duty points and various bonus items for an undisclosed price.
What the fuck? It sounds so special when they put it that way.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's get back to the reader mail. People wrote in about the Game Awards. Cool. Steve Fontana says, even with Red Dead Redemption 2 and God of War in the spotlight last night at the Game Awards, I couldn't help but think that Nintendo, while winning nothing, was the talk of the show in the end. Ultimate Alliance 3, Joker, constant commercials for Smash reminding people that it's out in minutes. It just feels like a strong showing from Nintendo. What are your thoughts?
I mean, he's not wrong. I mean, it kind of speaks to, I'm happy for Nintendo in that sense, and you know, like it was exciting for us, but kind of speaks to the divide I mentioned earlier, where like you have current games competing with upcoming games.
Yeah.
And let's be real here. I think most people are only watching for the upcoming game. So it's just, yeah, it's just a little weird that divide exists and Nintendo won the show without winning anything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird when you compare it to last year where they were competing with themselves with Breath of the Wild and Mario Odyssey.
Right. I guess they burned through all their nominees in one year.
Yeah. it's weird. And with Smash coming out past the time and even Pokemon Let's Go coming out at a time that Pokemon Let's Go got super fucked. And not that it necessarily would have won too many things, but yeah. I do think it would have been up for handheld for sure.
It's more of an RPG than Monster Hunter World.
Exactly. It came out the last day that qualifies, which means it's not eligible next year, but also people didn't get to play it.
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, because Nintendo doesn't send out like early copies for the purpose of reward shows or award shows. So, yeah. Yeah.
Dude, whose question was that?
That was Steve Fontana. I moved up, like, I had questions that were underneath the Game Awards thing. Does that make sense?
I see it now. Sorry.
Anthony Nunes says, how's it going? What a Game Awards show. I have to say that it's the best one yet. I think you agree, by the way, you final smashed Andy's laptop. My question is this. Is 2019 shaping up to be a big year for Switch? We got Animal Crossing, Ultimate Alliance, Crash Team Racing, Mortal Kombat 11, Fire Emblem, Yoshi, Metroid maybe. I feel third parties believe in Switch now, and that's not including all the indies being released as well and more titles being revealed at the showcase. I think 2019 can give 2017 a run for its money. Also, since Metroid wasn't shown in any capacity, are you worried at all? I feel like if we don't see anything at January Direct that it won't make 2019. Your thoughts?
I think 2019 is going to be a huge year for the Switch for a few reasons. One, 2018 was kind of an off year for Nintendo. I had a great time with it still. Even playing Tropical Freeze is still one of the best games I've ever
made.
So, but yeah, I mean, there were a lot of strong indie games, but not necessarily a ton of strong, like, huge third-party games. We had some, but and you know, not a ton of first-party Nintendo games until recently with Pokemon and Smash. So I think 2019 is going to be big. We're going to see a lot of big first-party support from Nintendo, and I think now, like, we're finally going to fully reap the benefits of third parties hopping on board. It takes a while to make games, and a lot of them held off on the Switch until they saw it was a success. And we're going to start seeing those, I think, rolling in the next year. So it's going to be a very exciting year.
Yeah, I mean, and on top of all this, we're starting the year off with New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, which is going to be a behemoth in sales.
it's perhaps, yeah, it's going to be huge, even though I think it's perhaps, for me, like, one of the least exciting ways to start off the year.
Yeah. So, I mean, the thing is, the game is great, and I feel like we were so soured by the experience of it being with the Wii U.
Oh, it should not have been a launch title.
And it being a launch title, and also in the same year that we got New Super Mario Bros. 2. It's just like, we were just over that art style. Exactly. We were just over that gameplay. It's like, whatever. But it's actually a super quality game, and I feel like it's going to really thrive on Switch, which we always joke about. It's like, everything's better on Switch.
Right.
But the multiplayer focus out.
That's
true. Like, I think that, like, four people playing together is going to be really, really good and accessible to families. And, like, I think it also goes all the way up to the hardcore gamers, where there is a really hard, good game there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And Toadette.
Metroid. We didn't see it at the fucking Game Awards.
We didn't.
We still don't know what's happening with Retro.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Who knows? Yeah, it's a giant mystery. There are the rumors about the Star Fox racing game, Star Fox Grand Prix. We've heard no more about that since then. No more rumblings or anything. Who knows? I'd be totally content if they've been secretly working on a sequel to Tropical Freeze. I'd be totally on board with that. So
me too.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Most people would be very upset.
Metroid,
but I'd love it.
Metroid, though, I think at the very least, we'll see it this year. And I think it probably will be this year, coming out this year. They announced it almost 2 years ago now at E3.
Yeah.
They showed nothing for it.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to have something similar to Smash. They're going to, like, blow it out at E3 or, you know, and then have it announced for that fall. So
yeah.
And maybe, and you know, I still think Trilogy is coming too.
Me too.
So.
Me too. I can't believe we didn't get at least that last night.
Same here. I think now, if it exists, which I think it does, I think it'll be announced like an early year direct for release, you know, shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
So.
But I totally thought they were going to pull a Bayonetta 3.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Where it's
announce
like show 4, and then here's, like, in February, you're getting Metroid Prime Trilogy. I don't know. That's weird. And also Bayonetta 3.
I was going to say Bayonetta 3.
That's another thing that's, you assume next year.
Yeah, you would. That's right. So, yeah. Hopefully.
Let's see. Ashley from Brighton says, after the laptop breaking announcement of Persona 5's inclusion in Smash Bros., is this just the cloud of Smash 5, or is the DLC all going to be this intense? Anything is possible.
That is the question, right? I hope that's what it means, that everything is going to surprise us. My concern is it doesn't. The only one they have to blow out is the first one to get people buying into the season packs or the season pass.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it doesn't really fucking matter. They've already sold the most of their sales. So.
Yeah, man, it's so weird because the thing for me is this, having Persona shows that there aren't many rules.
Right.
But one rule that still stands so far. Video game characters is one. And the other thing is that there hasn't been a Western third-party character.
You're right. That's true.
So,
Who would you want?
Crash.
It would. Yeah. Okay.
Crash
would
be my answer.
Why did they ask?
But on top of that, like Banjo-Kazooie.
Yep.
Right. Like.
I feel like his odds have only improved. Both characters' odds have only improved since last night. So
yeah.
I kind of think like anything else is off the table. I just hope that this wasn't like their big character and now the rest are going to be super lame. I don't think that's what
I don't think
means.
That's going to be the case.
I think
starting with this is a message where they're just like, yo, you motherfuckers that were upset that Nintendo's choosing it, you're wrong. Like, we're going to give you some good shit. I would put money on Banjo.
I kind of think so too. Like we've seen, I mean, we talked about this before. We see Microsoft and Nintendo have been working together. They've worked together in the past. Rare ported Diddy Kong Racing to Nintendo.
To DS.
Yeah, to DS while being owned by Microsoft. I think it's possible, the only way I think it's actually possible is if Nintendo, if Microsoft is working on Banjo-Kazooie 3, which I hope they are, or a true Banjo sequel. So if that's the case, I think Banjo's a shoe-in for Smash. And I hope both of those are the case. So.
Yeah. Amiad, the med student, writes in and says, "Hey, Tim and Andre, why do certain developers tease the announcement of games before they actually announce it? The Game Awards were good last night, but I can't help but think they would have been better if some of the bigger announcements, Crash Team Racing, Far Cry, weren't already teased beforehand. Imagine the shock value if we got to see the Crash Racing trailer without ever expecting it to be there. Why ruin the surprise?"
Very true.
It's a good question.
I'm right there with you, man. Like, the Crash Team Racing thing should have been one of the most epic moments of my life.
I mean, could you imagine had Nintendo said, "Hey, stay tuned for Smash DLC"? You know, I mean, it would still have been exciting.
Yeah.
Like, but it would have taken a little bit away from the moment. I mean, on the surface level, people do it to make sure their audience is watching. It's a fucking Game Awards. Everyone's watching already.
Yeah.
So you don't need to tease it.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. Certain games are different. For me, Crash Team Racing, I think that they really blew their load and shouldn't have done that. Like, they should not have teased it the way that they did. It would have been so much more hype to just get that announcement. But things like Far Cry, I feel like that's where you use that to get people to watch. Like, the Game Awards need to be like, "Hey, we have announcements of this caliber." You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like you need people to understand how important it is.
I think it's partially because some announcements, for as hype as they may be in the moment, could be easily overlooked after, you know, a subsequent announcement or even previous ones. So maybe developers trying to get more attention to their own announcements that may be overlooked by others. So true. Smash ended the show, and that's all anyone's going to be talking about after that. So.
And that's definitely why Crash Team Racing did it. They knew that they could have their own day, their own headline on a couple days ago, whereas here,
exactly.
It's like,
well, yep.
Billy the Door writes in and says, "Tim, I understand if you can't answer." I think this was from a couple days ago. But how long does it take to unlock everyone in Smash?
Way too fucking long.
Or not that long at all. So
what? Okay. All right. I need to hear this.
There's the way that I did it that I've said on a couple shows now is the fastest way to get every character in Smash is to play a versus mode, just do a one stock match.
Right.
And once you unlock a character for the first time, which I think is like pretty much after a match, you close the app, restart the app, play another stock match, and then you immediately get the next character.
So, yeah, I wish I'd known that when I was unlocking them. What on earth? I was doing the usual suicide method for a while. God, I'm trying to remember how I even got them all now. It was a week ago, and it feels like fucking forever ago at this point. I've been playing so much goddamn Smash, which is not a complaint, by the way.
Yeah.
but I feel... So that's cool, except how long did that take you, by the way?
I was also playing classic mode a little, and I was bouncing around.
You
have
to switch over at some point too, anyway, right? Because doesn't that method stop working after a while?
No.
Like I thought they added like, you did it before the day one patch.
No, Kevin's doing it right now.
I'm doing it right now.
So what I had heard is, and I haven't confirmed it myself, is I heard the day one patch changed the some of the timing on it, perhaps. Where did you update Kevin to day?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Maybe
that's,
it still works.
That's the thing is, like, it's still going. It's working, and
works
for me.
Awesome.
I would say that like you could get that done in 2.5 hours.
Okay, that's awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
That's what,
actually,
the only problem
on.
Is you have to be good at beating them.
No. So here's the thing. You can get it done even quicker than that. I think 2.5 hours if you're actually playing the one stock matches.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't doing the suicide method. I was playing because I wanted to, and I would play as a character until I unlock the next one, then I'd play as them just because I enjoy the game.
Yeah.
But if you're just like killing yourself really quick, you're going to get them way faster. And Kevin, if you lose to a new challenger, there's a challenger approaching mode or something that you go to and you get to replay against all of them.
Oh my god, thank god, because
cool.
I just lost like 4 in a row. And
so
really
you can
upset.
You just go to that and then you just one by one take them out.
Oh shit, alright.
Yeah. So you just stack them up. That's the fastest way to do it. You want to know the slowest way to do it? World of Light.
Fucking World of Light,
it's
Jesus.
It's so long.
40 hours and you still won't have them all.
It's
so
crazy.
Yeah,
it's, now, we were talking about this earlier. My game clock on it right now is 20 hours, but over 20 hours.
Yep.
And I'm not close to done.
No,
I want to say I'm maybe 2/3 done.
I think that's about right based on what you told me. So.
But I feel like that game clock has to be wrong.
I mean, that's the way I feel too. But I was looking at it. I'm like, how in the fuck did I spend this time in this mode? But I think it might just be that it's so goddamn mindless that you don't retain any memories of it. So it just seems like it hasn't been any time at all.
It's interesting. Ryan T from Tennessee says, "Hey guys, Smash Bros. Reviews are out. It looks like people like the game, but the Spirit / World of Light mode is getting a lot of thumbs down. Do you think think it's fair to have a game with a hefty mode like this disliked and still give it a 9+?
Absolutely. No fucking question at all in my mind. The way I look at it is, if Smash is shipped without World of Light at all, we wouldn't be holding it against it because it doesn't exist. You wouldn't hold something. So you can just ignore it. You don't have to play it. It's not mandatory. Smash, to me, has always been a multiplayer first game. The fact that World of Light, to me, kind of sucks doesn't change the fact that Smash overall is an amazing fucking package, and that it's absolutely worthy of the scores it's getting. So.
Yeah, for me, I do think that it should affect the review score because it taints it. And it's like, again, we're not talking about drop it 3 points, but like, this game to me could not be a 10 because of Spirits.
That's interesting. Wow. See, like for me, I guess I had this divide for, I mean, when we started doing reviews, we actually used to grade single player and multiplayer separately, but I feel like they're oftentimes almost completely different games. So like take Halo, for instance, like Halo 2, I didn't like the single player at all. Multiplayer was fantastic though. So if I can just ignore an aspect of a game, I'm not gonna hold it against it. Like I appreciate the developers are ambitious and try to give you more than, more than you need for the game. So the fact that it's not great, I'm not gonna hold it against it.
I just want more. And like, I like to see it. Like there is a seed of something great. There
is, oh yeah.
And there's a lot of things about it that are awesome. We had a very long conversation before the show about World of Light and about what we like and don't like. And it's like, at the end of the day, to me, there's just way too many systems going on that could have been simplified to just be one thing, and it would have been fucking amazing.
So, I mean, in that sense, I absolutely agree. Like, I would have loved World of Light to be in an amazing mode. I thought it looked amazing from the early coverage of it and our preview event. Like, I mean, this looks really fun. But then the more and more I played, it just kind of got really repetitive. There are too many systems, as you mentioned. You don't need that many systems for this mode. They had an excellent idea there that just needed a little more time in the oven, I think. So.
Yeah. And like, the biggest disappointment to me is the lack of cutscenes.
Yeah.
Like, Subspace Emissary was what people remember it being because of the cutscenes.
Right.
So, let's see. I want to do one more. All right, let's do this one. Brandon says, last year was one of the best years in gaming history. Do you think 2018 topped it? Here's a list of the Game of the Year nominees from the Game Awards the past 2 years to help. In 2017, we got Zelda Breath of the Wild, Mario Odyssey, Horizon Zero Dawn, Persona 5, and PUBG. 2018, we got God of War, Red Dead 2, Spider-Man, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Celeste, and Monster Hunter World. Wow.
Yeah.
Topped? Both. I don't know. Equaled? Sure. Like, right. What a fucking time to be live playing video games.
It really is an incredible time. Like, so many just incredibly ambitious games that are so long that, as I said earlier, we just don't have time for. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, actually, that's one of my complaints. Games should be shorter. I need shorter games, which is why World of Light was pissing me off, because it's way too long. So
yeah, it is way too long.
Yeah. And also, this year did have Tropical Freeze, so that and you with Tropical Freeze, it's a good year.
Squad up, Austin B playing on PS4. His PSN name is WindDodger93. Says, hello, KFGD crew. I'm looking for some best friends to play PUBG on PS4. Yes, I'm aware Smash is out right now, but for those of us who do not have interest or Switch, how about some good old Battle Royale? Thanks.
I mean, does he know Fortnite's out? Do people still play PUBG?
It's on PS4
it's
now.
It's a fun
so.
Game, guys. All right, everybody calm down.
It's time for You're Wrong. Let's see what we got wrong in the show.
Nothing.
Got nothing wrong. No, we got some stuff. Lord of Pwn says, the Game Awards voting does get influenced by fan votes, but Jeff weighs in on those votes differently, or weighs those votes differently than critic votes to avoid advertising campaigns or internet fuckery to sway wins. Is that Mr. Like Showtime says, fans basically got one vote of 65.
Wait, one vote out of 65?
Because
there was
65 media outlets right. That voted, so I guess the people count as one.
So that's barely influential. So.
Yeah. Ignacio Rojas says, The Martian won Best Comedy or Musical in the Golden Globes 2016.
Close enough, dude.
Lord of Pwn says, it's called the Stanley Parable, not the Stanley Parabola. A parable is a succinct didactic story in proso verse that illustrates prose. I'm not even going to read this. I'm too sick for this shit.
I was going to say, it's too early in the day, but it's 1 p.m. It's too early for us.
Yeah, definitely.
Not sleeping, yeah.
A lot of people saying some stuff. Ignacio Rojas says, a very important thing Tim didn't mention regarding Obsidian's new game is that it's also coming to PS4. A Microsoft first-party studio is developing a game for PS4. That is interesting.
That is interesting.
Really weird.
It just goes to show, once again, Banjo's possible.
Banjo's possible, man. Gotta believe.
Paul Rapper the Rapper in Smash. You gotta believe.
You gotta believe, man. Martin says, for new games out today, Ashen is on Xbox One and PC. It's a Souls-like action RPG. Also, it's free on Xbox Game Pass. Kebab says, I recall Reggie saying to Jeff at the Game Awards along the lines of, this sets the tone for the DLC characters. Characters who you never expect to be in Smash.
That is awesome. So, yeah, that's right. Oh, man.
Let's see. ArcWing24 says, in regards to unlocking characters in Smash, the day one update added an additional requirement to unlock certain characters. Some of the characters require a certain distance of travel to unlock if you're unlocking them via versus mode.
So you probably didn't encounter that then because you were playing.
Yeah.
So it prevents a suicide method, though, from working. So maybe that's... Yeah.
Oh, maybe. That's interesting.
It is interesting. Complicates things. Real quick, I am of the opinion that it's kind of bullshit. We still have to unlock characters. They should have been there just like the stages. Yep. Just give them 100%. All. Give it's not them. Fun to unlock them. It's not fun. Like, everyone wants to get to the newcomers. You shouldn't have to sit there and grind your way through.
Yeah.
Especially on day one.
I mean, I had fun.
That's cool. It should be an option then. When you start the game.
Yeah, that's the thing. It does kind of suck. And like, we're in a weird situation where we have so many people here. But like, I grinded to get them. Everyone in Switch should have them. everyone in this office has a Switch.
Right, yeah.
And like, it sucks that Kevin also has to do it.
Or same thing for us too. Everyone had to grind their way through to the characters. I mean, at the very least, what they should do, I think a good compromise would be have a cheat code that unlocks all the characters on a temporary basis.
Yes.
That would be awesome. So you can still earn their satisfaction, get them permanently.
I agree that it should be an option. But I do think that part of the fun of Smash Brothers is the challenger approaching screen and is facing off against them. And I think that it, especially when this is the ultimate Smash game with over 70 characters, it gets you to go out of your comfort zone and play as everybody.
I totally get that, and I think that used to be more the case. Like, it was way more fun when you didn't really know all the characters,
yeah,
or when they were way less blown out than they are now. But we've been seeing coverage of this game, like, after the last Direct, they were playing the full game in streams for hours on end. You could see every character completely in depth. It's like, I just want to play as them now. I don't want to sit here and wait for, especially in this one, it's worse than any other because you have to unlock every character.
Many motherfucking people. Oh, it's crazy. Well, I want to get to playing, so we're going to wrap this show up. Andre, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you for having
me. Where can people find you?
You can find me at Game Explained, where a YouTube channel covers pretty much everything Nintendo, Smash Brothers, Mario, Zelda, everything Nintendo, Pokemon. We're most well known for doing in-depth analysis videos of game trailers, where we'll take a 30-second trailer, turn it into like a 20-minute video at least. sometimes. We do game discussions, video guides, all kinds of things. So yeah, if you want to find out about Nintendo, head to Game Explained on YouTube.
Hell yes. Monday's host will be me and Greg. The return of me and Greg. I feel like it's been like 2 years since we've hosted together. But until then, I love you.
Shake hands.
Oh yeah, we're supposed to shake hands.
All right.